Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be wondering. You're too young.
Are you ready to let go of control, to surrender to love, and live the life you were meant to live? I wish more people thought that way and believed in real miracles. Stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming love lessons for your soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Celebrity healer Adrian Blackwell has been featured on many TV shows around the globe, including L, NBC News, Travel Channel, and Bio Channel. She has a healing background as a Reiki master teacher, shamanic healer, Theta healer, and medical Qigong student. That was the catalyst for her to create her own modality, Ascended Healing, and the recorded healing called Ascension Codes. And she has been hosting several virtual summits about making miracles happen. Her upcoming summit, on which I'm privileged to be one of the speakers, is focused on love and relationships, and the link is posted on this page. And so I'm delighted to welcome you, Adrian Blackwell.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And what's exciting for me, I've spoken on many summits and I've created many of my own, but I don't always know anything about the summit host. So it's really exciting for our listeners to hear about your background, education, and training that led you to want and to be able to create a really powerful, many powerful virtual summits. So tell us about your education, training, your work.
Wow, years ago, when I was super young, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I had been working since I was 14 years old, and that's whether it was restaurants, bridal shops, warehouses, like I had done a lot of work, and I realized I didn't want to have to work for anyone else. I mean, that was just bottom line, so I was looking for, you know, my passion and my purpose as early as like 19 years old. And I decided that I wanted to be a massage therapist. And so they didn't have a class that was going to be happening as soon as I wanted it, because it's really hard for me to sit still. So I decided to check out, there was a place called Twin Lakes Healing School of Arts. And they did a lot of like classes and they taught metaphysical things. They taught healing. There were so many classes there. And so I had signed up to do this course. And lo and behold, the day that I show up, there was absolutely no room left. And so I was like, is there a class that starts the same day at the same time? And and that I can start, because I was already there at the school. And she said, yeah, Reiki. And I was like, what's that? And she said, well, it's really hard to explain. And I was like, do I have to take my clothes off? And she said, no. And that was my journey. My journey into healing began that way. And I know that, I know it was meant to be. Like, I just know. The other one, I think, was Brema. And now that I understand what that was, I was like, that would have never been my path. Like, Reiki was really what opened me up to being a healer. And it was something that I felt like, with time, that I had done for my family, not necessarily do on other people. Like, it wasn't my modality. But I did have an experience where my daughter was having an allergic reaction, and her tongue was super swollen. And the way she was breathing was like, and I was like, okay, if I can't get this down with Reiki within the next 5 minutes, I need to take my daughter to the hospital. So I put my hands on her. I did everything I was trained to do. And within just a few seconds, her breathing normalized. So I went and opened her mouth and looked at her tongue, because she was asleep. And her face, her tongue, everything went back down to normal. And I was like, yeah.
That's amazing.
I could do this for, you know, my family. I had a neighbor who was vomiting a lot. She was having a lot of issues. She had a really bad headache, and she thought she was going to have to go to the hospital. I just was like, let me just make you feel better until you get to the hospital. So I put my hands on her, and within a few seconds, you know, everything was back to normal. She was like, no, I'm feeling fine. Like, nothing was ever wrong. So I'm like, there's something to this healing thing. So I decided to further my education for the purpose of furthering my education, never thinking in a million years that I was going to use this professionally ever. So I then, a friend introduced me to a teacher. I actually had an experience. I was living in New Zealand, and I was reading one of Sylvia Brown's books, and she was telling you how to get in touch with one of your spirit guides. And so I had did this meditation as I was falling asleep. And the only thing I remember is somebody kind of floating above me and saying, will you remember what I've told you? And I nodded and I said yes, and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I did not remember anything except for, will you remember what I've told you? But I remember the face. I remember the face. I mean, that was... the face was profound. It was seared into my brain, the person who was there. So my friend introduces me years later to something called medical Qigong. And this is, you know, their clinics. They work with people who have disease over in China. And our teacher he had written this huge, massive medical book on everything that he had learned and how to do these techniques and stuff. And so I'm like, oh my God, he's famous. Let's do this. Like, this is the person.
What is,
you
tell
it's
us
a medical Qigong. And so I was like, this is, you know, this is the person you would want to learn from. And when we got there,
Adrian, Adrian, what is his name?
Dr. Jerry Allen Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
But when we got there, that was the person who was above me asking me, will you remember what I've said?
Wow.
And that was really profound, because I didn't understand. I thought the person would have been dead. How is your son alive? I've always had really profound experiences that have led me to the next thing when it comes to healing. You know, I've had people that we were being retreats, and it's just healers, and people would walk up to me and say, I'm told that I'm supposed to give you this healing modality. Can I teach it to you and pass it along? And I was like, sure. And so all in all, I don't remember all of them, unfortunately, but I've studied 13 different modalities, including massage therapy. And it was the trained massage therapy where we went into the anatomy of the body. So I got to understand the body really well. And then I studied psychology, and I studied the brain and how the brain functions and brain waves. And so you want to talk about certifications and knowledge that I have? It's a well of knowledge. I never stop learning, and I don't always go to school to learn. A lot of times it's books, it's medical books. I've spent tons of money to learn the stuff that I've learned, and it's actually helped a lot.
Well, Adrian, we are kindred spirits because I've trained in an awful lot of things. I have a massage license, counseling, and body psychotherapy, and spiritual, you know, awakenings, and consciousness raising groups, you know, and it just is endless. And healing.
That's awesome.
And you just keep on learning. But I like the way you went about it. It's like the way I got into my doctoral program was just somebody I was out on a date told me about this program and I signed up for it. You know, it was just haphazard, but it was like being led to whatever it was. And that's what you've experienced.
It really shows you're on the right path. So that's so awesome.
So I have a question for you. What led you to be called a celebrity healer?
Well, I didn't want to be a professional healer. I fought it for years. So I was a psychic. And I was a psychic foremost because it was who I considered what I was. It was my identity. I eat, breathe, and sleep being a psychic. I could not turn it off. I did not want to turn it off at the time until I learned how to, and it became a good thing at that time. But, you know, in the beginning, it was just who I was. And from the beginning, I remember the news calling me and asking me to make a prediction, and it was correct. And then I would be contacted by the tabloids, magazines. I used to write for a UK magazine. I mean, just a long list of things that would happen to the point where I was also a medium, and so I would be contacted to talk to dead celebrities, and then, you know, living celebrities would come to me. And that was basically, you know, why I was a celebrity psychic is because I worked with celebrities. And I did think it was really interesting. Years ago, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I had to call up like a government office. And when I told them my name, the woman goes, "Are you the same one from VH1? And I was like, "How in the world do you know that?" And she was like, "I remember the name. Like, I remember you."
How
so
wonderful.
Weird, you know? And then I was talking to an entertainment lawyer, and he was like, "Oh, I've seen you before. I've seen you on TV." And he was like, "You're definitely, you have some kind of celebrity status because people know who you are." So I never considered myself a celebrity psychic because I was a celebrity, but that was always fascinating to me. It was because I worked with celebrities, dead and alive.
No, your work is exciting. And one of the things that has kind of bothered me over the years is how much people prefer to go to someone else to get their answers than to discover it themselves. But I think that you teach people how to do it themselves also.
In the beginning, not so much. And, you know, I've been doing this work for 20 years, so it's been a learning process. And that was one of the things that burned me out was, as a healer, people want to come to learn for themselves. As a psychic, not so much, most people. But I did have clients that, you know, they use it as guidance. Like, how do I continue my spiritual growth? You know, can you give me this answer? Like, you know, do you have any information from my guides or whatnot? And there's been a couple of lives that I've saved by doing this work, you know?
Beautiful.
So I can completely understand why people would go for guidance because they don't have the tools that I had. I took years to get here, and I can't imagine my life path as a lawyer and I would have the time to learn how to speak to my spirit guides on a regular basis. Or if I'm an advocate for animals and I'm doing it full time and I eat, breathe, and sleep it as I did as a psychic, and that person necessarily has the time to go out there and learn the same tool. So I got to see when people were doing really important work, that was the work that they wanted to do. That's where they wanted to put their time and energy. And so therefore they would go to somebody like a psychic or a healer to get more information or learn what they could do along the way when they don't have a lot of time and energy because they're already on their mission or they're already on their path. But for everybody else, this this would have been a great tool to learn as a child, because then you would have never had to lose it, and you would have never had to take time out of your normal everyday schedule to develop it. And so I understand in that sense why some people go.
But there are people who do both to some extent, you know, that do take the time for themselves. I think very often that's much later in life, though.
It is. Oh, it definitely is, because you're not worried about paying rent and, you know, what my next career move is so I can, you know, afford to eat and those kind of things. So, yeah, a lot of times it's just not in the forefront of people's minds. And there are some people who do abuse it, and those people are the ones who need to learn how to do it for themselves, no matter what you're doing.
Right. So tell us, you've told a few, but tell us some of the miracles that you've experienced in this work.
Lots of miracles in this work. I think one of the ones that really, there was a few that really fascinated me, and I don't know if they'll fascinate anybody else as much as it fascinated me, but I used to be a smoker. When I was young, 15 to 19, I was a smoker. And when I got pregnant, I stopped smoking cold turkey. I didn't like the way it tasted or smelled, which was a blessing for me because I could not stand smoking. And I used to tell people, before I started smoking, if you had told me that it will make me sick for 3 weeks versus 1 week when I get a cold or a flu, I would have never started because I cannot stand being sick. So my boyfriend had said to me at the time, you know, once you have the baby, you're going to start smoking again because you're a smoker. And I was so upset. I can't even tell you how upset I was, because I realized that I felt like the cigarettes had made me lose control because I couldn't stop. So for 5 or 6 years of my life, I would actually have nightmares periodically where I would wake up in a cold sweat. Like, you know, people have nightmares about their snakes or sharks or somebody trying to kill them. And I was having this about smoking cigarettes. Like, I would have a dream that I'm smoking a cigarette, and I would completely like wake up in a cold sweat, terrified. That's how much I didn't want to be out of control anymore. So for me, what I had to do, I actually had to start smoking again I think it was 6 years later at this point, because my daughter was six. I started smoking again, and I decided I was going to smoke for 30 days and I would quit. And that was it, that I was in control. I was in power. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm going to tell you, it made me stop a little bit early when my best friend called me up and said, "Can I speak to Adrian?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? This is me." And she's like, "Oh my God, you sound like a man."
Wow.
So when I was smoking, it was like it burnt the back of my throat and I started sounding like a dude. So that's the process I had to go through. So 4 or 5 years ago, this was the first time I had this experience where there was a woman who did not know who I was. She doesn't know how she found my webinar, but she showed up live to one of my webinars. And I had people write down what they wanted by the end of this webinar, and she wrote down one of the things that she wanted was to stop smoking, and she was a smoker for 30 years. I did my healing work over the webinar with a group of people, which is very powerful work when you work with more than one person. And it had to be like 3 weeks later, she wrote me and told me the next day she was no longer a smoker. She took her last cigarette. And she said the healing worked. She was like, "I don't know how you did it. I didn't think it was going to work after being a smoker for 30 years, but it worked." And then I had more people telling me that they were able to just put down their cigarettes cold turkey. They didn't want it anymore after getting a healing with me. I had people tell me their depression went away and that they were working with their doctors to get off of their depression and anxiety medication. You know, I've had people tell me that they had a disease, and when they came to one of my webinars, they felt it leave, and then the doctor confirmed it was gone. So I don't claim to do anything. I want to make that clear to anybody listening. The only thing I can tell you is that I get testimonials, and those are what I share. So apparently that's what I can do.
And what I'm picking up from listening to you is that there is energy. I mean, we know there's energy. And somehow you are transmitting energy to that other person's energetic system and somehow they're opened up and able to release something.
What I found through scientific work, and here's some of the stuff that always fascinates me, is that, you know, people who don't understand healing, all you have to do is look at your cell phone. If you're on a cell phone, you understand how healing works. If you understand there's a wireless tower over there and we have a phone that's wireless and yet it's communicating, you already see how healing works. They've done, you know, tests where they said that twins have some kind of psychic connection, because you'll have one twin at home, the other one's in another country experiencing something, and the other twin knows something's wrong. And they will call the other twin to find out. They know that one twin has died and the other one is still alive, and the other one knows. They feel it. How? How are they doing this? And they've tested DNA. They'll put, you know, a person in a room, cemented, nobody can get access to them. And then they put their DNA, you know, 20, 30 feet away, and then they scare the heck out of that person or they stress that person out. And the DNA that's no longer attached 20 feet away is still reacting. It's still reacting just as if it was in the person. So if the person's stressed out, the DNA over there becomes stressed out. And so it's proven over and over and over again, even if we don't understand how it works, that us being apart, we can still transmit energy. We can still talk to each other. We can still talk to the brain and rewire things. We can talk to the body. And so, yeah, we can transmit different energies, and you can actually change a frequency of the cell by a sound. And so my healing is actually sound healing. So when I send out a frequency, it's an actual sound. And so science has shown that when you, you know, you could ring a bell or you could, you know, make different verbal commands, and your cells will actually change. And so I'm just able to do that over like a wireless service, kind of, you know, that's what the brain is.
Oh, it's amazing what you just talked about. I've also seen studies that showed that if they take a blood sample out of a person, the blood reacts the same way that you just said about the DNA reacting. But I guess the blood has the DNA in it. But, and water reacts. So there's just so much that we've seen and that science has shown, but a lot of us don't believe it. So I have a question.
I'm a science geek. So anything scientific, I love. Like the fact that you even said that, I just want to do cartwheels, because I love that people can understand how it works. I don't just have to tell you that it works or you experience it. And you're like, how did that happen? It's like, we know how it happened because of science. So that's really cool.
I also tell people about if you ever sat on a bus or a train or somewhere where someone is sitting very close to you that you don't want to sit next to, and you feel that energy. You know, it's like you want to get away from it. It's intense. Or if someone touches you, like I had a craniosacral class where it's very gentle touch. The person was touching me very lightly, but I had a headache for hours after that because he had tension in his hand, and I felt the tension. So even though he wasn't pressing hard, the tension got into me. So what I want to ask you next is, what is the biggest problems that people come across in attempting to heal, especially when they want to heal themselves?
You know, I think it fits our topic perfectly because it's love. And there's two things that people experience that's a huge issue. When you can open your heart, and that does not mean being in a relationship, that means open to love, and there's all different kinds of love. When you can open your heart, anything is possible. And I did not understand why the gurus and the teachers all talked about love as, you know, love is everything, until I opened my heart and the income increased, it tripled, you know. The people that came into my life were different. Different opportunities came in just by me opening my heart. So, and you having a closed off heart brings really negative experiences. And so what I found is that people have a hard time with the idea of self-love first. And that creates kind of this block and this resistance to healing. And so we have to look at, what have you done in your life that you were open, you know, to looking at going, this may not have been great. This is where I'm having my issues. This is where I'm having my problem. And I'm angry at myself for having this issue. But then when you look at the issue, you've created it out of a love for yourself. You've created it because you were trying to protect yourself. And you don't try to protect people you don't love. And so I give this people clarity as to what self-love is, because a lot of people don't know. And so when they get a glimpse of the fact that they actually do truly care about themselves, the door opens, like everything changes. And so we can dig it deeper into love. And so then they can create the love that they want romantically. They can create a more loving relationship with their family, or they can build a whole brand new family of people who care about them. But it really opens the door to everything if you can focus on love.
And also know that it's okay to love yourself, that it's not selfish to love yourself. And even the most loving thing you can do for another person is to love yourself. Be an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful.
So now, tell us, what is the best part for you about being a healer?
The best part of being a healer is the total opposite of being a psychic. As a psychic, I would be like, okay, what do you want to know? And this is what's going to happen, you know? And like I said before, sometimes that was useful because I have saved lives in that way. But it was more of me telling people what was going to happen. And sometimes, yes, you can change it if it was negative, and sometimes I didn't see it changing at all. And it was very disempowering for me and for, you know, my clients. As a healer, I don't just tell you what your life is going to be. I get to start with, you know, what do you want to create? How do you want to live your life? What goals do you have? Like, how do you want to feel in the future? And so people get to tell me their dreams. And to start off your day that way, to start off your session that way, is such an amazing feeling to be able to just start with your dreams and what you want to create in life. I mean, it's just such a beautiful, it's like an open flower. It just opens and it blossoms and it blooms. Versus people coming to get, you know, a reading and they're kind of scared, like, oh, what is she going to say? Now it's like, we get to create what you want. Like, we get to do healing on what it is you want to create. So let's make it bigger and better. So I get to push people if they're, what they want is a little bit too small. They're not asking for enough. They're not really telling me the whole truth about what they want to experience. I get to get bigger and better. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, so many people have either forgotten their dreams or they're afraid it's not possible, you know, at this age or with this situation. That is beautiful. So now I have my final question to you is, what led to your creating these virtual summits? Tell us about them and then tell about the current one.
that's a funny question. It wasn't my idea. It was not my idea. I had done radio and I interviewed people for a long time. And in September, I was visited by what has to be one of my guides because it was a disembodied voice. And yes, I can hear my guides a lot of times when it's important. I will hear them just like me and you are talking right now. And so one of my guides, the voices said, yeah, it's time to start interviewing people again. And I decided not to argue with it. I was like, okay. But I knew they were talking about video, not radio. Like, I could feel it. And it was like, if you make it happen, we'll do this. Like, I'm just not going to argue. So within 3 days, everything had come together for me to start the process. And so I decided I'm going to create this virtual series, and it's going to be interviewing a bunch of amazing experts. And so I did Making Miracles Happen, How to Release Control, and Learn the Art of Surrender to Help Heal from Anything. And people wrote me saying that was life-changing. I mean, just interviewing people who talk about miracles in their work and the kind of work they do and the miracles they've had in their own lives is an incredible experience. And so it was it was just beautiful. It was amazing. And so this one, I had a friend tell me, she's psychic, and if she tells you something out of the blue, you don't ask her, she tells you out of the blue, you can almost guarantee it's going to happen. So she goes, I have a feeling you're going to be helping people with love and sex. And I was like, what the heck is she talking about? I was like, I'm working on miracles. You're playing. So just, it had to be like a month or two later. I was sitting there and I was like, you know, I would really like to do a summit on sacred sexuality and finding true love and spiritual healing, you know? And so that's what this one is. And so I got to find some of the best, most amazing experts that talk to you and tell you about, again, miracles and miracles you can create. And you're one of those people. And what I loved about your interview is how many tips you gave. Like, you really gave people something that they could walk away with and go, I can try this, I can do this. So there's so much, there's just so much that's happening there. And then right after Valentine's is when it ends. And right after that, we go into the health aspect of it. So, and then that's it for this one.
You've done some amazing work, and it's just a thrill for me to talk with you and learn so much more about you. And with that, I'd like you to please share, first of all, any final words for our listeners, and also how they might be able to get in touch with you. They can sign up for the summit by clicking the link on this page, but in Italy maybe.
If they want to contact me directly, I have a website. And it's called adrianblackwell.com. And so they can see everything that I'm doing and actually even watch an interview right there on the front page. And I'm going to tell you, I'm really excited because I have a website where everything is on the front page. So you don't have to go digging or looking for anything. It's all like right there, which is something I really wanted for a long time. So I'm excited that I have it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be easy for people to navigate and take a look at that.
That's great. Okay, so any final message you have for our listeners?
Final message is, I think it's what I would tell people if I could talk to any and everyone who is going to sign up to do this series to watch it when it goes live here in February 1st, is do not let a day pass you by, whether you're married, you're single. If you don't have the life that you want 100%, do not let another day pass you by where you're trying to figure it out by yourself. Don't let another day pass you by where you're like, I don't know what to do next, because you've been offered this opportunity 100% free to be able to find out and have someone talk you through the next step, what to do next. And you can better your marriage. You can get into your relationship. You can learn self-love, but it doesn't matter what your goal is. The whole goal really is to open the heart, because that brings everything you want and desire. Even information that seems to come out of nowhere, miracles happening that tells you what you need to do next. And you can do that with love. I don't know any other topic that would do it really that much, every aspect of your life where you need it to be. And so I would really just say, don't let another day pass you by where you're questioning things. Sign up, go and listen to it for free and have a good time.
Wow. And I want to add to that, that I had studied years ago with Mantak Chia, the Qigong master, and he talked about smiling to yourselves and laughing with yourselves. And I would add, send love to the cells in your body. So, Adrian, I want to thank you so much for doing this summit, for inviting me, and for coming on this radio show today. You're a delight.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website at drericagoodstone.com and sign up for a special Love Mastery Secrets session. And I look forward to speaking to all of you again soon. Bye for now.